Welcome to Westgate Messages Plus, where we share our Sunday messages and bonus content. We hope you enjoy this deeper dive into God's Word and how it transforms our everyday lives. Thanks so much for tuning in.
And I'd love to pray for us this morning. Lord, you are an awesome God, and I praise you. We come into your presence and ask you to speak to us. Lord, thank you that we can have community in this room, that there's a slight roar as people are sharing with each other. And I just pray that that roar would continue through each and every day and each and every time we get together as we build a community that follows you and gives you the glory. In your name I pray. Amen. Well, my wife was looking for some new luggage a while ago, and we were watching QVC or HSN or something like that, and saw this little luggage. And Delana, who is my wife, said, I think that might work for what I was looking for. And I said, well, yeah, it's a good price. American Tourister, not the top of the line, but we've heard of it before. Let's try that. And so she ended up, and I see some people cranking their neck over here. I'll show you this as well. And so she ordered it, and it came, and she just didn't like it at all. And it was kind of, it's too small to be large, it's too large to be small, that kind of thing, and she didn't really like it at all. And so I thought, well, I don't like it either, so we'll stick in the closet and see what happens. Well, then I realized shortly after that, we were going just on a night or two getaway, and in my mature lifestyle, I've realized I've kind of passed the duffel bag, and I don't have any fancy bag that I can take, and I thought, I'll just try this little red bag. It probably won't be that great, but we'll try it. So we tried it, and I love it. It's just perfect. It rolls nice. It's awesome. So I've been using this just for the short getaways because, again, the full-size one is just too big for that environment. And so the other day, my daughter, who's 23, we were together, and I was rolling my luggage. And she said, oh, Dad, look at what a cute little suitcase you have. I said, yeah, I kind of like it. And she said, yeah, it's so short and kind of stocky but functional. And she said, you know, Dad, if you were luggage, that would be you. She's not wrong. So whether you're a small little luggage and short and stocky, or whether you're a hard case luggage, that can be your conversation at lunch today of what kind of luggage you would be if you were luggage. But for me, it reminded me of, we have been talking about who are you and what's your identity. And as we walk into identity, there's a lot of things that identify us, whether it's short or stout or tall or long or, you know, as a Brinkman, I have Brinkman jeans. This is what lots of Brinkmans look like. And so we started with that. And what led me to one of my favorite verses in the Bible, if not my favorite verses of the Bible, is in Psalm 139. And it says, for you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. And I think that's a great verse when you start talking about identity. God knit us together in our mother's womb. He didn't factory produce us. We're not all the same. We are unique. And so when we're looking at our identity and we're looking at who we are unique. And we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God did that intentionally, and he knit us together before we were even born. And so when you look at that identity, the first thing is, if we start with that uniqueness, it just defines so much for us through our lives. The problem is we grow up in a world that isn't focused on how unique you are. Or if they are focused on how unique you are, it's a bad unique. And so oftentimes our environment and our experiences and stuff kind of mess with that. And we grow up with ideas that we forget that we're unique. And we forget that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And then Luke Broder, who spoke last week, started in the passage Ephesians 2, 6 through 10. And I just want to look at the end of that. And actually, he did Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. I'm just going to point out 6 through 10 today. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And that's a very popular passage in the Christian world, because we love to, you know, God saved us by grace. But we often overlook verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good work, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So here we find that we are knit together in our mother's womb, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and we are God's handiwork, created for a work that he had done in advance for us to do. Do you hear the plan there? Do you hear the intentionality? And if you can identify that with your identity and who are we, then that gets us on an exciting path. And I called this passage, or the sermon today, standing invitation. Because a standing invitation simply means, hey, like when you're in town, you have friends. When you're in town, you have a standing invitation for you to stop by. You don't have to let us know. You don't have to wonder, hey, I wonder if they want us to come by. It's a standing invitation. And I think God has a standing invitation for us in multiple ways. And one of those ways that he says, you are God's handiwork, created to do good works that he created in advance for us to do. I'm not sure I can even wrap my head around that. And so standing invitations can be anything from stop by, or Taylor Bongard, our worship pastor, often mentions that he has basically a standing invitation for you to take him to coffee, because he likes coffee. And really, if you would buy him lunch, that would be even better. from the balcony. So if we are serious about God moving outside of our individual lives, if we put a outreach or an impact lens on that, what does that look like? I believe it looks like us doing something for somebody, for giving something to somebody, to walking along sometime with somebody. Because I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about the theology of outreach and missions and impact today. I'm not going to talk a lot about the foundation of what the Bible communicates there. But I am going to say, if you are unfamiliar with that, then pick up your Bible and start reading. Pick up your Google and start Googling. Why are Christians concerned about outreach? What does the Bible say about missions or speaking or reaching outside of you? There's just tons of verses about that. But I am going to challenge you that the standing invitation that I believe God gives us is you have the standing invitation to change people's lives. You have the standing invitation to go to things like Ethiopia, Tanzania, Poland. You have a standing invitation to do things with your neighbors, to tell them about Jesus, to do things and love them in ways that they can't imagine sometimes. And if you don't see that, I would give you a standing invitation to think about starting now. There's a lot of us that maybe have grown up and aren't really aware of that. I remember I went to a Christian college, and I had grown up in a church and went to a Christian college, and one of the speakers said, you know, people talk about going somewhere unless God closes the door. And he goes, what if you just assume the door was open? And then, sorry, I said that backwards. Wait until God opens the door? And then he said, what if you just assume the door is open until God closes it? And I remember being 18 years old and thinking, boy, that's a different answer. Because I'm walking into what God wants for me. I'm expecting that there are works that God has prepared for me to do. Because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. He knit us together in our mother's womb. And we're going to walk into that situation. So, not only are we unique, the second thing is we have a job to do. God has prepared a job for us ahead of time. And so a lot of times when we look at jobs, there are some real similarities in our jobs. Any job I think that God prepared for us to do is going to require us to be loving. Love your neighbor, love your enemy, love God, love others as yourself. Just love, 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 love. Love is patient, love is kind, love does not demand its own way. The Bible is huge on love. And so no matter what work God created for you in advance to do, it will require you to love. The second one, I think it requires forgiving. Forgiving of yourself, forgiving of other people. We live in a world where people hurt us all the time. They disagree with us all the time. How dare they? And yet we can walk into that and be forgiving. Generous. We talk a lot. If you've heard me talk this year, God has really laid it on my heart that there are so many verses about finances that we have to be aware of that and be generous with that. And my favorite phrase this year that I heard from somebody else that I'm using, and I think God laid it on my heart, is God doesn't need us to give our money to his ministries. We need us to give our money to our ministries and to churches and to other people, because that changes our heart. It moves us in a position of saying, oh yeah, that's right, God provided all this for me. Whether my stock market is down, whether my savings is down, whether whatever's happening, God has provided for me, and I need to put myself in a position to give to other people, because it changes my world and my life. And whether that's in outreach is a great way to talk about giving. It's hugely impactful. We saw Block saying, you know, we gave $25,000 last year to get that building started. And they are going to teach and train people in the middle of the jungle on agricultural studies. And they're going to play soccer, and they're going to tell them about Jesus. We're on board. We gave our finances and your finances to accumulate that and give to that. And we have that opportunity. But we also have that opportunity for our church. And this is where I'm going to stop and be the operations guy for a minute. We are doing a lot of really exciting things as a church. A lot of those exciting things require money. We have changed our church name. We have changed our lobby. I don't know if you've bought furniture lately. I bought furniture for my living room, and we have bought furniture for this living room. And it's expensive. But we value the fact that when we get together in the same room, you know each other. You get to talk to each other. You get to interact. You get to pray for each other. You get to cry with each other. And so we want to do that walking along. And so we are within our budget right now, and we're monitoring that budget. But because of so many expenses we're up front, we're really kind of facing a cash issue. So we've done things like we have delayed our staff retreat to save some money, because the staff is committed to feeling like, well, this is what God wants us to do. But we're at that point where we could use some help with that. And I want to be as transparent as I can with those kind of things. I always, whenever I talk about this, I want you to hear my heart of, this is what God would lead you to do. This is not me standing up here going, you should give more to the church, or you should give more to missions. Because I'm going to talk about you giving money to anybody, something to somebody this morning. And so if that's the church, a couple $100,000 of our budget goes directly to the ministry, to the outreach ministries. Poland, Tanzania, Ethiopia, your money that you give to our church, to our general budget, goes to those trips. We help to offset some costs and to be an encouragement to that. So as you're thinking about now through, especially through the end of December and maybe your year-end giving, we'd encourage you to think about Westgate as a place that you can invest. Because we're going to keep pushing. We're going to keep pushing for God to do cool stuff. And finances are just a part of that. And service is a part of that. And prayer is a part of that. And that's my next point, is praying. Some of us, throughout my life, I've been challenged on, there are lots of people that pray more effectively, more deeply than I do. And yet, I feel the dynamic of God throughout the Bible saying, we need to pray. So if God has created a job for you to do, created a good work for you to do ahead of time, that includes praying. And I just have a couple stories. Again, I'm stepping out of the outreach right now to some funness. Not that outreach isn't fun. I didn't say that. But I've come across two things this week that are answers to prayer. And I just feel like God is doing stuff. And he's doing stuff in our church, and he's doing stuff in the community. A number of you would know who Herb Bloomquist is. Herb Bloomquist, whose niece attends our church. But Herb was the executive director at Camp Chaminade, our denominational camp up in Brainerd. He recently retired, mostly because of his health, some because he was anticipating that. Herb has for a long time talked about he needs to have a succession plan and who's going to take over after he is, because he's really good at what he does. And he has my favorite voice of all time. He's just super loud and powerful. I'm loud, but I don't have the power that Herb has. So I yearn for that power in my voice some days. But Herb, I was shocked. I looked up in the Caring Bridge, and December 7th, 2021, almost a year ago, Herb wrote this. Actually, his wife wrote this. On Saturday night, I brought Herb to ER for what we thought might be his 13th kidney stone. It was not. It has proven to be the worst case of pancreatitis that our doctor here in Staples has ever seen. His blood sugar is too high. His kidneys are not working. The first choice would be to transfer him to a larger hospital, but currently that is not an option. Remember December 21? Hospitals were jammed. There are literally people dying, and they couldn't find a bed for them. I'm so excited that we have made some progress with that. And back to Debbie's writing. Would you please pray for the Lord's healing touch and great wisdom for our doctor as he tries to get some answers for what he should do next from what he said, people smarter than him. And so in December, Herb was in the hospital with pancreatitis. October 13th, so this week, Herb wrote, such good news today. Doctor, and it's G-U-R-U, it reads guru to me. But he's from India, so it could be a different pronunciation. But he had four other nurses and techs come into the room because he wanted them to hear the good news too. He said the CT scan was as good as it gets. He will start the process of getting me weaned off the TPN over the next month, which simply TPN means you don't eat. They just plug all your nutrients into you and you get it through liquids. Herb is a guy my size. Herb weighed 150 pounds as he was going through this process. I saw him last spring and I was shocked. He was like a high schooler in an 80-year-old person body. And Herb is, I assume, 60-ish. So going on back, he'll consult with a nutritionist as in what foods begin adding. Yay, we're going to start chewing again. The doctor is Indian. His wife is from a name I can't pronounce. No idea how to spell that. The same area two of his grandkids are from. So he has two adopted grandkids from there. He is going to India to teach about this pancreatic stuff and said that he would be telling everyone about my case. He said I'm his poster child. In fact, he said I'm completely healed. When I'm completely healed, the two of us should write a book. He was serious. We've been praying for Herb for a year. He was near death. He is still not in great shape. And yet a CT scan was as good as it gets. It's just a really answer to prayer. And God does that. I don't always understand it, but I love it. And then the other one this week is Rhonda Thompson works at the front desk a couple days a week for us. And she had a friend that was in a serious car accident. So she came in and Bruce Drugsman and I were standing there and we prayed with her and prayed for her friend. And then the next day, I think we got this. I just spoke to his nurse. I couldn't catch her name, but she said he was doing great. He's squeezing her hand and following commands. She told him to shut his eyes real tight and then open them, and he did that. She said she was with him the first night and she cannot believe the difference. Said she's been here for 17 years and has never seen such amazing turnaround. Then she said, praise the Lord, this is truly a miracle. You could just hear her excitement in her voice. Then she said she was surprised to see he was still there. That she said, I'm sorry to hear that sound that way, but it truly is a miracle. She was in the room with him when we talked. Y'all, that, and they're from South. Y'all, that is just so huge. I have goosebumps. And those are just two things this week that were answers to prayer, that were miracles. I believe God still does miracles. And if we're talking outreach, if we want to put that outreach impact missions layer on that and lens on that, God does cool things because we pray. And so I'm an operations guy. I like talking about finances. I'm going to talk about finances on a regular basis. But I'm also a prayer guy. I love prayer, and I'm going to talk about prayer. So as you hear us talking about investing in outreach and investing in ministry and different opportunities, just to know the job that God has created for us to do, the good works that we have to do that he created ahead of time, are always going to require love, are always going to require forgiveness, are always going to require generosity, are always going to require prayer. You just know that. Every job that you do that God will has prepared for you ahead of time will include those things. And many others. But as much as there are similarities, there's also differences. One of the things that we I'm going to read a verse first. Philippians 2, 1 through 4 says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united in Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking for your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. And so as we know, this is a given for jobs. The jobs that God gave us are not in selfish ambition or vain conceit, not our own interests, but it's the interests of who God is. And so there are differences as well. So that's the similarities parts. There are job differences. Some of that is about experiences. Some of that about abilities, passions. I had the opportunity yesterday to help Sarah Galligan, who was our kids pastor here for a long time, moved to St. Paul. She and her husband, Chris, bought a house. They're super excited about it. And so a number of us went over and helped her move. I walked in, and I like helping people move, but I don't like walking up and down three flights of stairs. I do like when I got to the truck, her dad was in there packing the truck, and I immediately started thinking, you know, if that box went up there, that would be better. Because you know what? I'm really good at packing trucks. Now, I'm good at packing trucks. I don't know if Brad Fellebaum is here. Brad Fellebaum is a friend of mine. He attends this church. I went to help somebody move one time, and Brad Fellebaum was there, and I stepped back at the feet of the master. Because I'm really good. And Brad was really, really good. So some of it is you walk out and say, the job that you have to do, the experience and the passion and the abilities that God has given you, you're the front line. So within 5 minutes, I was packing Sarah's truck, and quite honestly, we got it all in one truck because I was there, because I have that skill. If you've ever packed a truck that's this high all the way back, you need to call me. Or better yet, call Brad Fellebaum, and I will worship at the feet of the master in that. But that's one of the passions. That's something that gets me jazzed. I don't get jazzed about going to Africa. When I was growing up and going through college and stuff, the kind of joke, sarcasm stuff was, I'm willing to do something, but God, don't send me to Africa. Well, I know people that would, Dorothy Hansen, who attends our church and was formerly on staff, will talk about Africa in a loving, passionate way that I can't understand. One time, years ago, I was driving back from Canada with Delana's family and bored to tears. And I said to them, well, okay, let's assume we could go anywhere in the world that you want to go. Anywhere. Just pick it. You pick your spot. Delana's mom, my mother-in-law, I'd always kind of like to do missions in Africa. Yeah. So would everybody. But we're talking, you can go anywhere. There's no cost. Live wherever you want. And the best answer I could get was, I'd like to go to Africa and see what the missions is doing. That's a heart and a passion that I don't get. But lots of people don't get the heart and passion for packing moving trucks. That's just weird. So I'm going to spend the rest of our time just talking about how do we take our passion? And not even how much, just as much as challenge you, because when you do passion things, when you do things that resonate with you, that brings joy. It was joyful for me to pack that truck yesterday. I loved it. I went home going, that was a good day. And I know it's weird. I admit it's weird. It's okay. You can have weird passions and resonations in your soul. And my opposite thing that I always talk about is being mechanical and fixing things. I can't fix things if my life depended on it. So I was thinking about this sermon, walking around my basement yesterday, actually going to come back here and work on the sermon a little bit. And I have a vent that I had taken off because it blows too much air in the summer and not enough air in the winter. And so I was playing with it. And so it just has a little flippy thing. And so it just has two screws on the side and you screw them in. And I thought, I'm going to screw those things in before I go. So I screwed them in. I thought, boy, I found the holes. I got them in. I didn't chip any paint. The flipper thing didn't open. It was stuck in the... So I had to take it all apart, get the flipper thing open, then put it back in. And I just sat there and laughed. And I laughed and thought, you give me a truck to pack, and I'm in. Give me something to fix, and it's just dumb every time. I have lots of you as my friends who are my mechanical people that I go, I need your help in this. And that's what the body of Christ looks like. That's why when I look at this and say, we have a job to do, we have good works that God has prepared for us to do ahead of time, that is not one of the good works that God has prepared for me to do. I just know it is not. Because it doesn't resonate with me, and it doesn't give me a passion for what I could do. Now, you don't always get to do your passions. That's the key. But when we're talking about, again, if we look, put an outreach lens over that, pick something. If you look at blocks, if it resonates with you that the people in the jungle stand around playing soccer with people so they can tell them about Jesus, then invest in the blocks. Pick them, pray for them, give them money, go serve and spend time there if you can. In our tables in the lobby today, Tanzania, they live at the border of a significant mountain that has lots of tourism. They can take and start a class that a lot of the classes are about tourism and how do you get jobs in the tourism industry and so that you can support yourself and live. And so it's exciting to look at that. And so again, if that resonates with you, that young people are getting trained up and being touched by God through that experience, then invest in Tanzania. Ethiopia is going with Community Bible Study International. Community Bible Study does Bible studies. It practically named itself. We've sent a group multiple times to Ethiopia to do teaching people how to study the Bible. And they've brought sewing machines and things to teach them how to sew so they can have a job. Because the alternative to the job is basically slavery, is basically abuse, all of those kind of things. And so if those things resonate with you, jump in. Do something for somebody. And whether that's funding or prayer or activity or serve or talking about it to your friends who have money, any of those kind of things. Maybe that's, look for your passions. Look for ways that jump out at you. Travis and Anna Sherrell. Anna Shade grew up in this church. Were missionaries in China. And they had to come home because of COVID. Anna had some health problems with her lungs. And so they can't go back. And when you talk to Sherrells, that was their passion. That was what they're doing. Well, they're with a group called ILAD. I don't know what it stands for. It's just ILAD. It stands for something. It's on the table. Go find out. What Travis now is doing is there were a bunch of Bible translation and Bible people that work with the Bible and getting it into people's language and stuff that couldn't go to the field because there weren't enough trainers. Well, Travis is going to be a trainer for the same group he was with China. What he learned in the last several years in China, he's going to train other people. Well, the multiplication factor of that is fabulous because now it's not just Travis and Anna going, it could be one. It's Travis training up multiple people to be multiple numbers. Anna is very gifted in photography and social media. I will tell you as a church, social media is a huge challenge. Communication, letting people know what's going on, huge challenge. That's why we have a Sunday that's Global Impact Sunday. Because somewhere we got to say, hey, this is going on, and we want to give you a reminder. Hey, here's an opportunity. And so we tend to do that in chunks, but we also take one day to kind of focus on that. And so Travis and Anna are multiplying themselves by their adjustment. Now, is it a little bit of a changed dream for them? 100%. Do they need more support? 100%. Because now people that got resonated with China are going, oh, you're not going back to China. Then that doesn't resonate with me. Then we need some other people that resonates. If you're interested in Bible translation or planting churches or just value us raising up missionaries from our congregation, from our youth group, then invest in Travis and Anna. So much of our jobs are different because we have different passions and different identities. But we all came, we were knit together in our mother's womb. We were fearfully and wonderfully made. God has saved us through the grace and through Jesus, and from that has created a job for us to do. Has created works ahead of time that he wants us to do. Do you hear the standing invitation in that? I wonder if God wants me to be involved in outreach. The answer is yes. 100% of the time. All we have to do is figure out how to do that. And whether you're giving to church and we will give it to people, because if you don't know what to do, we do. So give your finances, call us, we'll help you serve, do all those kind of things. Or you can go connect with Blocks or Tanzania or Poland, like I mentioned. We sent $20,000 on Friday to Poland for that money that people give, and not budget money or anything, it's just designated finances. Can you imagine the dynamic of hundreds of thousands of people coming into your country? They show up at the door at your church and go, we need to eat. Talk about your budget challenges. And so there's all of this going on. And God, I think, is if you aren't aware, God challenges us throughout the Bible. We need to serve other people. We need to invest in other people. We need to tell other people about Jesus. And there's so many ways to do that. That's exciting and awesome and powerful. So look at your passions. Look at the job uniqueness that God prepared for you to do ahead of time. And whether it's packing a truck or fixing a vent or going to Ethiopia or Tanzania because you have a heart for Africa. Those are all exciting, great options. 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11 says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and sober of mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in his various forms. Do you hear that? We all have a job to do. So in whatever various form God has gifted you, do the job as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Verse 11, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. So that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Our job, ladies and gentlemen, is to glorify God. 100%. We always know that that's loving, forgiving, generous, prayer. But we also know that each of us comes with our own passion, our own resonation in our soul that says, that's something that God wants me to do. And if you don't know what that is, talk to somebody else, get some advice. Or my advice always, even whether it's giving to church or giving to whoever, God, what do you want me to do with my finances? God, what do you want me to do with my time? God, what do you want me to do with my prayer? Because how do I be a part of the miracles that you are talking about and doing? It's exciting. It's an adventure. It's a challenge. It's scary. But God doesn't need us to do that for God. God needs us to do that for us. Because as soon as we start giving, it changes our perspective on money. As soon as we start praying, it changes our perspective on who is in charge of our life. And we simply talked about global today, but we have similar stuff with local. At the end of October here on the 29th, we will have the opportunity to do a trunk or treat in the parking lot. Trunk or treat is we just have people decorate the trunks of their cars and hand out candy and be goofy. And we've had 1,200 people come to an afternoon for a couple hours where we talk about Jesus. And we say we're a church that would love for you to, you have a standing invitation to be a part of our church. And I was around when we started the fall festival because, you know, how do you do Halloween? The reality is people love Halloween. And so all we're doing is walking into their lives and saying, we as a church want to supply you with candy, first of all, but also to tell you about, we love you and care about this community. I've started doing, Every Meal is a group that gives out, puts bags of food in kids' backpacks, because we have a lot of free and reduced lunch, which means they get free or reduced lunch, it practically named itself, throughout the week at their school. But when they go for the weekends, they don't have any food. So Every Meal has a system figured out with different ethnic variety of foods that somebody like me or you or whoever walks along, goes through the hallways on a Friday morning and sticks groceries in a kid's backpack. So they don't have to raise their hand and say, I can't afford to eat. And yet that provides some food for the weekend for the family. Because they've realized if a kid comes to school and hasn't eaten, the odds of them learning are slim to none. I'm now worried about food, not education and what math problems are what. So if you would like to be involved in that, we'd love to have you be involved in that. The blue house next door, we bought that. We're looking at putting a refugee family in there. Last week we put up some stickers and said, hey, we're going to do some welcome kits. If you just bring some of this back next week, there's tables full of stuff. You guys are great at that. And so many of you resonate with that. If that resonates with you, then focus on that and local, you know, housing and food processing, all those kind of things. So I don't have a lot of answers for you with that today, but I do have challenges. And I do want you to think of it as a standing invitation. God has a standing invitation, whether it's in this building, outside this building, in our country, in the rest of the world, of what that will look like. So as Ben Salmas comes up, and he's going to pray for us at the, and close out our service, he's one of the board members, I want to encourage you, stop at the tables out in the lobby. If you don't really do that, if you've never really done that, you don't know how, then make today the first day to do that. They're really friendly people, and they have pictures and computers and things like that. And so we want to encourage you to step by there and think about and pray about what God has to do in your heart and what job he may have prepared for you ahead of time. Ben, would you pray for us?
All right. Thanks, Mike. Lord God, I just thank you for the message today. And Lord, we thank you that we know just who you are, how mighty you are. You're the God here, God in Tanzania, God in Ethiopia and around the world. We thank you that you invite us to come along in what you're doing. Lord, for those who are going to Tanzania and Ethiopia now, how they're taking that big step out of their comfort zone, we just pray that you would bless them in a way that they can see your glory, that they can see you move, see your kingdom grow. Lord, we pray for each person here too as we leave today, that you would be in our hearts. Lord, open our eyes, help us to see how you are moving, and open our hearts that we'll be willing to hear, to listen as you speak to us and call us in very different ways. We love you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for worshiping with us.